إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. Verily the praise belongs to Allah. We praise Him, seek His assistance and forgiveness, and we seek refuge in Allah from the evil of ourselves and the evil consequences of our deeds. Whoever Allah guides, there is no one that can lead him astray, and whoever Allah leads astray, there is no one that can guide him. I bear witness that nothing deserves to be worshipped except Allah alone, and that He has no partners or associates. And I bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is His slave servant and His messenger. This morning, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, we would like to continue our discussion and brief explanation of the essay of Al-Imam Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab At-Tamimi al-Najdi rahimahullah, entitled Adillatu Shurut La Ilaha Illallah, the evidences of the conditions of La Ilaha Illallah, the Shahada of La Ilaha Illallah. In the previous two lectures, we discussed the first two shurut, or the first two conditions of the Shahada of La Ilaha Illallah, and we said that they are, number one, al-ilm, that the person has to have knowledge of the meaning of this statement of La Ilaha Illallah, including what it negates and what it affirms. It negates worship to other than Allah in the first part of the statement, La Ilaha, and it affirms worship for Allah alone in the second part of the statement, Illallah. As for the second condition of the shurut of La Ilaha Illallah, it is al-yaqeen. And al-yaqeen, certainty, it means kamal al-ilm, the perfection of knowledge, yani having total, complete certainty of the statement of La Ilaha Illallah without having any doubt after knowing this reality or this truth. The third of the conditions of La Ilaha Illallah that we want to discuss this morning, it is Al-Ikhlas, Al-Munafi Lish-Shirk. Al-Ikhlas, purity or sincerity of worshipping Allah alone, giving the pure worship, everything that is worship for Allah and Allah alone, that worship is exclusively for Allah. And this Ikhlas, offering the worship to Allah alone, it is that which negates a shirk. It nullifies and removes a shirk. Al-Ikhlas, it nullifies and removes shirk. Whoever worships Allah alone would be free from a shirk or worshipping other than Allah. Al-Imam Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab rahimahullah mentions a number of evidences from the Quran and from the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which are evidences proving the correctness of al-ikhlas as being a condition for the acceptability and the correctness of someone's profession or testimony of la ilaha illallah. The first of those evidences, he said, dalil al-ikhlas, the evidence for the condition of al-ikhlas, qawluhu ta'ala, is the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, ala lillahi ad-deen al-khalis. And this is mentioned in Surah Al-Zumr, chapter 39, verse 3. ala lillahi ad-deen al-khalis. Yani, isn't it so, isn't it true, that the deen al-khalis, the pure deen, that is al-ibadah and al-ta'ah, that all worship and obedience, that it belongs to Allah alone. Ala lillahi, isn't it so that the pure deen, all worship and obedience belongs to Allah alone? And then he mentioned as a second evidence the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-Bayyinah, chapter 98, verse 5, وَمَا أُمِرُوا إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُوا اللَّهَ مُخْلِصِينَ لَهُ الدِّينَ حُنَفَاءَ وَمَا أُمِرُوا, that they have not been commanded. Yani in the previous Sharia or Sharia, the revelations, the legislations that have been revealed to the previous prophets, likewise, they were not commanded with anything more important except that which we have been commanded with in the revelation in the Quran and the Sharia that has been revealed to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and that is that we worship Allah alone. لِيَعْبُدُ اللَّهِ, to worship Allah alone. مُخْلِصِينَ لَهُ الدِّينَ, yani making the deen purely for Him alone. That is avoiding associating any partners with Him. Al-Ikhlas. مُخْلِصِينَ لَهُ الدِّينَ, yani confirming and establishing ikhlas in the deen, yani in the worship and in obedience, that it should be for Allah alone. حُنَفَا, يعني turning towards Allah and turning away from everything other than Allah, inclining towards at-tawheed and turning away from ash-shirk. This ayat also is a clear evidence of al-ikhlas as a condition for the correctness of the statement of La ilaha illallah, that we have been commanded and likewise the previous nations have been commanded with nothing more important than to worship Allah alone and to have ikhlas in the deen for Allah, being inclined towards Him and being inclined towards tawheed and away from everything that contradicts it. The third evidence that he mentions, وَمِنَ السُّنَّةِ, and from the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, الحديث الثابت في الصحيح, the confirmed hadith which is reported in the Sahih of Al-Bukhari, عن أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه, عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال, أسعد الناس بشفاعة من قال لا إله إلا الله خالصا من قلبه أو من نفسه. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم in this hadith reported on the authority of Abu Huraira رضي الله عنه, he said, أسعد الناس بشفاعة, that the most fortunate of people who will receive my shafa'ah, my intercession, meaning on يوم القيامة, the most fortunate of people who received my intercession, من قال لا إله إلا الله, will be the one who said لا إله إلا الله خالصا من قلبه, but saying it sincerely from his heart, أو من نفسه, or from his soul, from his inner being. يعني the most fortunate of people will be those who receive the intercession of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم on يوم القيامة, and they are those who said لا إله إلا الله خالصا من قلبه. Yani the one who has made this statement sincerely from his heart or from his soul. And likewise, the scholars made clear that الشفاعة on يوم القيامة, the شفاعة that is mentioned here, it is the شفاعة that has been rejected by those deviant groups who didn't accept the idea that people who committed major sins, that they might be forgiven or that they might be interceded for and come out of the hellfire. And this hadith, it is in reference to those who have committed kaba'ir, major sins, from which they didn't repent, and that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would punish them for their sins, but the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would intercede for them. This is what is intended in this hadith, that the most fortunate of people will be those who deserve to be punished for their sins that they committed without repenting from them, the major sins which they committed without repenting from them, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would intercede for them due to their statement of La ilaha illallah being stated, pronounced sincerely with ikhlas. The fourth evidence that the Imam mentions, وَفِي الصَّحِيحِ عَنْ عِطْبَانِ ابن مالك رضي الله عنه عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال, and it has also been reported in the Sahih of Al-Bukhari from Itban ibn Malik رضي الله عنه from the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم that he said, and it is in a long hadith. Here the Imam has mentioned the part of the hadith which is of significance, the point that is relevant to our discussion. The shahid in this hadith, he said, it is the saying of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, إن الله حرم على النار من قال لا إله إلا الله يَبْتَغِي بِذَٰلِكَ وَجْحَ اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ. Yani that Allah has forbidden the fire to consume the one who says لا إله إلا الله. Yani Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made it haram, حَرَّمَ عَلَى النَّارِ. He made it forbidden for the fire to touch or to consume the one who says لا إله إلا الله, with the condition that that person says this statement of لا إله إلا الله, seeking the face of Allah. يعني من قال لا إله إلا الله يبتغي بذلك وجه الله. يعني that the person is seeking or desiring, the intention behind saying this statement is that they are seeking the wajh of Allah, the face of Allah عز وجل. And this is the point here that is of significance, that the person makes this statement يبتغي بذلك وجه الله, that they are making the statement with the intention of seeking the face of Allah, meaning seeking the reward from Allah, seeking the pleasure of Allah, يعني مخلصاً لله, seeking the face of Allah. What is behind this statement? It is that the person has said it sincerely with ikhlas, as a mukhlis, saying it for the pleasure of Allah, for the sake of Allah. And also in this hadith, there is confirmation or ithbat of the sifa, the characteristic of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Allah has a face. And this, the clear meaning of this statement is that Allah has a face. Seeking the face of Allah, it confirms that Allah has a face, and the face is confirmed for Allah in innumerable hadith as well as in the text of the Quran. So here we have confirmation of the sifa of wajh for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And likewise, the meaning behind this expression, seeking the face of Allah, is that a person does it purely for the sake of Allah. And whoever does so, then from that which they would receive as a reward is that they would actually see the face of Allah, and that will only be for the believers. And the greatest of rewards that the people would receive in paradise is to see the face of Allah. So whoever does whatever they do sincerely for the face of Allah, yani seeking the face of Allah, it means that they have done it sincerely, yani mukhlisan, with ikhlas. The fifth evidence that the Shaykh mentions, وَلِلنَّسَاءِ فِي الْيَوْمِ وَاللَّيْلَةِ, يعني عمل اليوم والليلة, that Al-Imam al-Nasa'i rahimahullah mentioned in his book, the actions or the deeds that one performs in a day and a night, مِنْ حَدِيثِ رَجُلَيْنِ مِنَ الصَّحَابَةِ. It is reported from two people, two men from amongst the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam qal, from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that he said, مَنْ قَالَ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ وَحْدَهُ لَا شَرِيكَ لَهُ لَهُ الْمُلْكُ وَلَهُ الْحَمْدُ وَهُوَ عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٌ مُخْلِصًا بِهَا قَلْبُهُ يَصْدُقُ بِهَا لِسَانُهُ إِلَّا فَتَقَ اللَّهُ لَهَا السَّمَاءَ فَتْقًا حَتَّى يَنْظُرَ إِلَى قَائِلِهَا مِنْ أَهْلِ الْأَرْضِ وَحَقٌّ لِعَبْدٍ نَظَرَ اللَّهُ إِلَيْهِ أَنْ يُعْتِهِ سُؤَالَهُ. In this hadith, it is reported that the Prophet ﷺ said that whoever says لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له, that there is nothing which deserves to be worshipped except Allah alone, and that he has no partners, له الملك وله الحمد, for him is the kingdom and for him is the praise, وهو على كل شيء قدير, and he has power over everything. Whoever says this statement مُخْلِصًا بِهَا قَلْبُهُ, while his heart is sincere in accordance with that statement, وَيَصْدُقُ بِهَا لِسَانُهُ, and his tongue is truthful in making that statement, he said, no one would say such, إِلَّا فَتَقَ اللَّهُ لَهَا السَّمَاءَ فَتْقًا, except that Allah would open, make an opening in the sky, in the heavens, he would make an opening such that he would look through it at the one who has made this statement from the people of the earth. And it is the right of a servant, if Allah looks at him, that he should be given what he has asked for. And in this hadith is a confirmation of the importance of the statement of La ilaha illallah, and particularly yani that this statement requires ikhlas, mukhlisan biha qalbuhu, that his heart should be saying it sincerely. However, as the shari, the explainer of this brief essay, Shaykh Ubaid al-Jabri, hafidhahullah, may Allah protect and preserve him, mentions in his discussion, this hadith is not a confirmed hadith. It doesn't have a strong chain, but its chain contains some weaknesses due to which we cannot accept it as a proof. However, its meaning is acceptable because the meaning is supported. And the meaning of the condition of ikhlas is supported because it is proven by other evidences. However, the general meaning of this hadith, that Allah would make an opening in the sky and look at the one who makes this statement, and that the one who Allah looks at should be given whatever he asks for, this statement is not confirmed, since the chain of narration, the isnad of the hadith, is not sahih. In any case, after this, the explainer of the essay, Shaykh Ubaid al-Jabri, hafidhullah, he says, the saying of the author, Al-Imam Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab, Al-Ikhlas, he said that Al-Ikhlas, linguistically, it means tasfiyah, yani to purify something, to remove whatever is corrupt, or whatever is spoiled, or whatever is not good, to remove it, to purify something from whatever should be removed from it. This is the linguistic meaning of Al-Ikhlas. As for the shar'i meaning, in the sharia, the legal meaning in the deen, he said it is takhlis al-ibadah wa tasfiyatuha min sha'ibati al-shirk wal-riya. That the legal meaning of ikhlas, it means to purify the worship, and to free it from any corruptions, the corruptions of shirk and riya. Yani the corruptions of associating something in that worship with Allah, or ar-riya, doing the worship, yani to be seen by others, So, al-ikhlas, linguistically it means to purify something, but technically in the sharia, it means to purify one's ibadah, and to remove from it the corruptions of shirk and riya, yani the corruptions of sharing that worship with someone other than Allah, or doing it to be seen by others. Al-Imam Al-Hafiz ibn Kathir rahimahullah says concerning the first evidence that Al-Imam Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab has mentioned, أَلَا لِلَّهِ الدِّينُ الْخَالِصِ, isn't it so that the deen al-khalis, the pure religion, is for Allah alone, that ibadah and ta'a, obedience, is for Allah alone? Al-Hafiz ibn Kathir rahimahullah says, the meaning of this statement, it means worship Allah alone, and do not associate anyone with him. And invite the creation, the creatures, invite the people to that, yani to tawheed, to worshipping Allah alone, and not associating anything with him. And inform them, yani Al-Hafiz ibn Kathir says that also from the meaning of this, it means to inform them that the correctness of ibadah, or the correct ibadah, or ibadah is not really correct or acceptable, except if it is given to Allah and to Allah alone. Yani any ibadah that is not offered to Allah or to Allah alone, then it is not correct and it is not acceptable. And he said also it means that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this ibadah, he has no sharik and no adil and no nadid. Yani he doesn't have any partner or anyone who is equal or like him or similar to him. And for this reason, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, and as Hafiz al-Ibn Kathir continues, for this reason Allah said, La lillahi ad-din al-khalis. Yani since Allah doesn't have any partner, and He doesn't have any equal, and He doesn't have anyone similar or like Him, for that reason He said, isn't it so that the deen is purely for Allah alone? Then Al-Hafiz ibn Kathir mentions a point which is of really great importance, and that is, he said, that no deed will be accepted unless it is done, except unless the one who does that deed does it purely for Allah alone without associating any partner with him. Yani no action, no deed will be accepted unless the one who does it purely for Allah alone without associating any partner with him. Al-Ikhlas, he said, إِلَّا مَا أَخْلَصَ فِيهِ الْعَامِلِ لِلَّهِ وَحْدَهُ لَا شَرِيكَ لَهُ. And otherwise the deeds will not be accepted. And this is the first condition for the acceptance of any deed, that it has to be done with ikhlas. It is not only for the statement of shahada, but it is for any deed. Here, Al-Hafiz ibn Kathir makes it clear that this condition of ikhlas is not only for the shahada, but it is for every act of worship or any deed that a person does. If they want to get a reward for it, they have to fulfill two conditions. And the first of them is what we are discussing here, al-ikhlas. And the other of them is al-mutaba'ah. And that it has to be done in accordance, in following, in conforming with the practice or the guidance of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in accordance with the sunnah or in accordance with the sharia, al-mutaba'ah. And the first condition is ikhlas and the second condition is al-mutaba'ah. Al-Shaykh Abdul Rahman al-Sa'di, the great scholar of our era, who was known particularly, but not exclusively, he was known particularly for his explanations of the Qur'an, his tafsir. The Shaykh says concerning this same matter and this ayat, he said that this ayat, it is a confirmation of the command that everyone must do whatever they do with ikhlas. The command for ikhlas, the order of ikhlas is confirmed in this ayat. And also, there's clarification in this ayat that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, لَهُ الْكَمَالُ كُلُّهُ وَلَهُ التَّفَضُّلْ عَلَىٰ عِبَادِهِ مِنْ جَمِيعِ الْوُجُوهِ. That Allah, this ayat also confirms that perfection, all of it belongs to Allah alone. Perfection only belongs to Allah. There's no perfection for any creature. Perfection, it belongs to Allah alone. And likewise, giving freely of His bounties to His servants in every aspect, this is something that belongs to Allah alone. Allah is the only one who gives freely, totally to His servants in every way, in every manner or aspect. He said, likewise, just as this is the fact that perfection belongs to Allah alone, فَكَذَلِكَ لَهُ الدِّينَ الْخَالِصَ الصَّافِي مِنْ جَمِيعِ الشَّوَائِبِ. He said, likewise then, we know from this that the deen, the pure deen, the pure exclusive worship and obedience, it belongs to Allah alone, and it should be free of every type of defect or corruption. Yani the deen that is free from shirk and free from every type of corruption, it belongs to Allah alone. Here, the Shaykh is using the argument that is found in the Quran in many places, that if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the Rabb, if He is the creator and the provider and the one who is perfect, then He is the one who deserves to be worshipped alone. Since He is the only one who has perfection, then He is the only one who has the right to be worshipped. And this is a common argument in the Quran, that even those people who worshipped idols, they acknowledge that Allah is the only Lord and Creator. Then the Quran, then Allah makes the argument in the Quran, if He is the only Creator and the owner and the one who maintains the affairs, then He is the only one that deserves to be worshipped. Then he said that this deen is the deen, Al-Hafiz ibn Kathir says, this deen is the deen that Allah has chosen for Himself, and that He has chosen for the best of His creatures, and that He has ordered them with. And this deen includes, it contains within it, at-ta'allu, yani worship for Allah alone, in love, and in fear, and in hope, and in turning back to Allah and doing good deeds. That this worship, it belongs to Allah alone. Whether it is love, it belongs to, the perfect love belongs to Allah alone. And complete fear, it is only from Allah alone. And hope is in Allah alone. And turning back to Allah, returning to Allah by doing good deeds, al-inaba, it is for Allah alone. So, mahabba and khawf and raja and inaba, all of these things, this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordered us with in purifying the deen and making it purely for Him alone. It means giving everything to Him, whether it is love, hope or fear or otherwise. And it is through this command of this deen that the creatures, the servants of Allah, that they will achieve or realize that which is required of them. It is by worshipping Allah alone. And that is what will correct and reform the hearts and purify the hearts without any shirk. With yani meaning, not worshipping anything along with Allah. This is what will purify the people, purify their hearts and their souls, as long as they don't worship or they don't associate anyone with Allah in their worship. Indeed, Allah is free from this, from shirk. Allah doesn't have anything to do with it. And this is the end of what he wanted to quote from the statement of Al-Hafiz Ibn Kathir rahimahullah. Or from the, I'm sorry, from the statement of Shaykh Abd al-Rahman al-Sa'di. Then the explainer, Shaykh Ubaid al-Jabri hafidhullah, says, that which increases the clarity of what has been stated by these two great imams, that is, al-Imam al-Hafiz ibn Kathir and al-Shaykh Abd al-Rahman al-Sa'di, what gives more clarity and certainty to what they have said is that which has been reported by al-Imam Muslim, rahimahullah, in his Sahih, on the authority of Abu Hurairah radiyallahu anhu, that he said, قَالَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ قال الله تبارك وتعالى أنا أغنى الشركاء عن الشرك. أنا أغنى الشركاء عن الشرك. I am the most self-sufficient of associates. يعني free of need of having any association. Allah is the one of all those who have associates. Allah is the one who is most self-sufficient and without need of having any associate. He doesn't have any need of shirk. Then he said, مَنْ عَمِلَ عَمَلًا أَشْرَكَ فِيهِ مَعِي غَيْرِي تَرَكْتُهُ وَشِرْكَهُ. So whoever, since Allah has no need, he is self-sufficient, completely free of any need of any associate, of anyone being associated with him. Therefore, whoever does any action, and they have associated in that action, they have associated someone other than Allah with Allah, then Allah leaves them. And he leaves their shirk. Yani he abandons that person and he abandons the act which they have done. Because Allah doesn't accept any deed that is done for him if someone other than Allah is sharing in yani that act. If you share that act with anyone other than Allah, Allah doesn't accept it. He has no need of such. As for the saying of the author, the ayat that he mentioned from the second evidence that he mentioned, وَمَا أُمِرُوا إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُ اللَّهَ مُخْلِصِينَ لَهُ الدِّينَ حُنَفَاءَ, yani that you have not been commanded, or they have not been commanded with anything except to worship Allah, yani making the deen purely for Allah alone, and inclining towards Allah and away from everything else, towards tawheed, and away from shirk. He said, as for this statement, the rest of the statement or the completion of the ayat is the statement وَيُقِيمُ الصَّلَاةَ وَيُؤْتُ الزَّكَاةَ وَذَلِكَ دِينُ الْقَيِّمَةِ. Yani that we have not been commanded except to worship Allah alone, making the deen purely for Him alone, with yani inclination towards tawheed and away from shirk, and in addition to that, performing the prayers and fulfilling the zakat, وَذَلِكَ دِينُ الْقَيِّمَةِ, and that is the straight and right deen. Yani worshipping Allah alone, in addition to prayers and charity. Yani not only worshipping Allah alone, but also performing the prayers and fulfilling the zakat. Al-Shaykh Abd al-Rahman al-Sa'di, rahimahullah, in his explanation of this ayat, he says, وَمَا أُمِرُوا, it means, yani that the previous nations in the other Sharia legal systems that were revealed to the prophets, it means that they were not commanded in these previous systems except the same thing, to worship Allah alone, making the deen purely for Him. Yani mukhlisina lahu ad-deen, ikhlas in the deen, he said, that a person intends by all of their ibadah, openly and inwardly, that they intend to seek the face of Allah, the wedge of Allah. And they intend to seek nearness to Allah. In every act that a person does, it means that they should seek the face of Allah, and that they should seek to get near to Allah through that deed. Hunafa, he said, it means turning away from and inclining away from the other deens, every other way of worship, every other philosophy or way of life that opposes and contradicts the deen of at-tawheed. Then he said, Shaykh Abd al-Rahman al-Sa'di, that he has specifically mentioned as-salat and zakat here in this ayat, even though they are already included in the statement, لِيَعْبُدُ اللَّهَ, yani to worship Allah. Salat and zakat is worship. And so when you say to worship Allah alone, it already includes salat and zakat. He said that, however, they are mentioned specifically because of the excellence of their status, of the status of these two acts of worship, Salat and Zakat, and the honored position of these two acts of worship, and that these two acts of worship, whoever fulfills them, then he has fulfilled that which is legislated in the deen. وَذَلِكَ دِينُ الْقَيِّمَةِ He said, ذَلِكَ, it means, يعني, that is the true religion. He said, it means, that refers to التوحيد. التوحيد is the straight religion. And الإخلاص in the deen. This is what he means by ذَلِكَ. يعني, these two things, التوحيد and إخلاص, that this is دين القيمة. يعني, the دين المستقيم, the straight way or the right way, that leads to the paradise, that leads to the gardens of paradise. And anything, every other way other than this way, الدين القيمة, every other way than this way leads to الجحيم, the hellfire. Then the explainer, Shaykh Ubayd al-Jabri, حفظه الله, says that in what we have mentioned of evidences up until this point concerning the obligation of al-ikhlas, and what will come after this in the rest of the discussion is a confirmation. That which the evidences that have been mentioned and that which will be mentioned, all of it is a confirmation of what the Shaykh al-Imam Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab has mentioned concerning the fact that al-ikhlas is a condition, a required condition for the correctness of someone's statement. It will not be correct and it will not be accepted unless these conditions are fulfilled, and from amongst those conditions is what we are discussing today, al-ikhlas. Then he says, as for his statement, وَمِنَ السُّنَّةِ الْحَدِيثِ الثَّابِتِ فِي الصَّحِيحِ عَنْ أَبِي هُرَيْرَةَ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ عَنْ النَّبِيِّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ قَالَ أَسْعَدُ النَّاسِ بِشَفَاعَتِي مَنْ قَالَ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ خَالِصًا مِنْ قَلْبِهِ أَوْ نَفْسِهِ He said, as for that which the author mentioned from the Sunnah in the confirmed hadith in the Sahih from Abu Hurairah, radiallahu anhu, from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that he said, the most fortunate of the people who will receive my intercession, my shafa'a, meaning on the day of resurrection, the most fortunate of the people who will receive my intercession are those who say, La ilaha illallah khalisan min qalbihi. Yani, sincerely, with ikhlas, from his heart or from his soul. He says, concerning this statement, the explainer says that this hadith is in the Sahih of al-Bukhari, and it has been collected by other scholars as well, and the expression as it came in Sahih al-Bukhari from Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu is that he said, it was said to the Messenger of Allah. Yani, the rest of the hadith, as is reported in Bukhari, it was said to the Messenger of Allah, who will be the most fortunate of people to receive your intercession on Yawm al-Qiyamah? And the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, لَقَدْ ذَنَنْتُ يَا أَبَا حَرَيْرَةَ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ أَنْ لَا يَسْأَلَنِي عَنْ هَذَا الْحَدِيثِ أَوَّلَ مِنْكَ Yani, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, O Abu Hurairah, I was thinking that no one will ask me about this hadith before you. I was thinking that nobody would ask about it before you. Why? لِمَا رَأَيْتُ مِنْ حِرْسِكَ عَلَى الْحَدِيثِ And it was due to the fact that I saw that you are eager in seeking the knowledge of hadith. The Prophet ﷺ here confirms the excellence of Abu Hurairah in seeking knowledge. He said that I didn't think anybody would ask about this before you because of your eagerness in seeking hadith. And then the Prophet ﷺ made the statement which is our evidence for this discussion. أَسْعَدَ النَّاسِ بِشَفَاعَةِ يَوْمُ الْقِيَامَةِ مَنْ قَالَ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ خَالِصًا مِنْ قَلْبِهِ أَوْ نَفْسِهِ And when Abu Hurairah asked him, it was Abu Hurairah's question, who will be the most fortunate of people to receive your intercession on the day of Qiyamah? And the Prophet ﷺ said that it will be those who say, La ilaha illallah, saying it sincerely from their heart or from their soul. And again, yani keeping in mind that those who say, La ilaha illallah, sincerely, this will be yani the favor of Allah upon them, that the Prophet ﷺ would be allowed to intercede for them because of the sincerity of their statement of shahada. That means this statement of La ilaha illallah, if it is said sincerely, it has weight and it will enable someone to receive the intercession of the Prophet ﷺ. And this is in reference to those people who will need that intercession because of the punishment that they deserve due to the kabair, the major sins that they have committed. from which they did not repent in this lifetime. So here from this statement also we can say that من قال لا إله إلا الله indicates that it is a condition to pronounce the words of shahada, the two words of shahada. من قال, whoever said it. That means that it doesn't mean whoever believes it in their heart. They are convinced that it is true, but it is a requirement to say it. And this is by agreement of the scholars of Sunnah, that a person who is able to speak must state, must pronounce the shahada in order for it to be accepted. Also we should know, the Sharia says here, that the shafa'ah that is mentioned in this hadith, it is the shafa'ah for Ahl al-Kabair min al-Muwahideen. And this shafa'ah is for the people who committed major sins from the people of Tawheed, al-Muwahideen. It's not for everyone, but it is for the people who committed major sins from amongst those who died on Tawheed. And this is the shafa'ah that has been rejected by certain groups of the people of Bid'ah, like the Khawarij and the Mu'tazila. And they have denied this shafa'ah. They said that whoever dies with major sins will be in the hellfire eternally. They will never get out of the hellfire. Al-Hafiz ibn Hajar al-Asqalani, rahimahullah, in his explanation of Sahih al-Bukhari, Fath al-Bari, concerning this hadith, he said that perhaps Abu Hurairah asked about this matter, and who will be the most fortunate of the people to receive your intercession on Yawm al-Qiyamah? He said, perhaps Abu Hurairah has asked about this matter at the time when he heard the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam stating these words. That is reported in another hadith that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, وَأُرِيدُ أَنْ أُخْتَبِئُ أَوْ أَنْ أُخْتَبِئَ دَعْوَتِي شَفَاعَةً لِأُمَّتِي فِي الْآخِرَةِ. Yani that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, and that I intend, or I want to hold back, or to hide, or to conceal, or to reserve and save my da'wah, my supplication that will be answered by Allah. I want to reserve it as a means of shafa'ah, intercession for my ummah in the next life, in the akhirah. And in this hadith, it is what he has mentioned here is part of a hadith in which it is mentioned in some of the narrations that the Prophet ﷺ said, that every prophet has an accepted supplication, da'watun mustajabatun, that he will supplicate by. Every prophet has a special supplication that will definitely be answered by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he said, mine, that special supplication that I have, which will definitely be answered, I want to save it so that it will be a means of shafa'ah for my ummah on yawm qiyamah. So Al-Hafiz ibn Hajar al-Asqalani, rahimahullah, in Fath al-Bari, says that perhaps Abu Hurairah, when he heard this hadith that the Prophet ﷺ is saving his special dua for the shafa'ah for his people in the next life, he said, who will be those fortunate people who receive your shafa'ah? And the Al-Hafiz, he says, yani concerning this in the explanation of Fath al-Bari, he said that the complete text of this hadith and the explanation of its wordings have already been explained in the beginning of the book of da'awat, supplications. And he said that in some of the narrations of that hadith, it is also mentioned, شَفَاعَتِي لِأَهْلِ الْكَبَائِرِ مِنْ أُمَّتِي. Yani that the Prophet ﷺ said, that my shafa'ah, my intercession, it will be for the أَهْلِ الْكَبَائِرِ مِنْ أُمَّتِي. Yani for the people who have committed major sins from my ummah. Yani meaning that his shafa'ah, it will be for those who have committed major sins from which they didn't repent. And if they died saying La ilaha illallah sincerely from their heart, then these are the people whom his intercession will be for. Then the Sharia Shaykh Ubaid al-Jabari, in his explanation of this brief essay, he says, in this way, or from this point, it becomes clear the correctness of the argument or the proof of the Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah, their proofs and their argument concerning the confirmation of this shafa'ah, this intercession for the people who committed major sins, it becomes clear that their argument is correct, and it also becomes clear of the incorrectness of the madhab of those who have opposed the Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah, meaning the Khawarij and the Mu'tazila, claiming that there is no intercession for the people who committed major sins. As for the statement of Al-Imam Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab, the evidence that he mentions, the second hadith, وَفِي الصَّحِيحِ عَنْ عِطْبَانِ إِبْنِ مَالِكِ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ, to the end of the hadith, yani the hadith in which it is mentioned that Allah made forbidden on the fire to touch or to harm those who said La ilaha illallah, seeking His face, seeking the face of Allah. He said, as for this hadith, he said that this hadith has been reported by Shaykhain, yani Al-Bukhari and Muslim. And it also has a story behind it. And the expression of the hadith, or the words of the hadith as it came in Bukhari, is that Itban ibn Malik radiallahu anhu was from amongst the Ashab Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam min man shahida badran min al-ansar. Yani that he was from the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who was from amongst those who had witnessed, who participated in the battle of Badr, and he was from the Ansar, the helpers, the people of Medina, who were in Medina when the Muslims migrated from Mecca to Medina. Yani he was an Ansari, and he was a Badri of those who participated in the battle of Badr from amongst the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And it is mentioned in that hadith, the story behind that hadith, that he came to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he said to him that I have lost my eyesight, and I am the one who leads my people, yani the people in his area where he lived, I am the one who leads my people in the prayer. So, if the rain fills the valley which is between me and them, yani the place where he lived and the people who he led in prayer, there was a valley between them. And if it rained and the valley became filled with water, he said, I am not able to go to their masjid in order to lead them in prayer. So I would love that, O Messenger of Allah, that you will come to me, meaning to his house, and that you will pray in my house, so that I will take that place where you pray as a musalla, as a place of prayer. Meaning, in the time when the valley is full of rain and he cannot go to the masjid to lead the people in prayer, then he will pray in that place in his home where the Prophet ﷺ had prayed. So the Prophet ﷺ said, سَأَفْعَلُ inshaAllah, I will do it, inshaAllah. Then it is said that Itban, he said, radiallahu anhu, the Messenger of Allah ﷺ and Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu came to me early in the morning, and he sought permission, that is, the Prophet sought permission to enter, so I gave him permission to enter. And he said he didn't sit until he entered the house. And then he said to me, yani the Prophet ﷺ said to Itbar ibn Malik radiallahu anhu, أَيْنَ تُحِبُّ أَنْ أُصَلِّيَ مِنْ بَيْتِكَ, yani where would you like, or where would you love or prefer for me to pray in your house? In which place should I pray? He said, I pointed to an area or a corner of the house. So the Prophet ﷺ stood and he made takbir, Allahu Akbar, and we lined up and prayed two rak'ah, and then he made taslim. And the Prophet ﷺ performed a prayer of two rak'ah in that place. And after completing the prayer, Itbar radiallahu anhu, he said that we held the Prophet ﷺ to take some food that was known as khazir, yani a certain type of food. He said we had prepared that food and we held the Prophet ﷺ with us to take some food with us. And he said a large number of the men from the neighboring area gathered in his house at that time. Yani it was known that the Prophet ﷺ have come, so the people gathered there to sit with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. While they were sitting there, one from amongst the people said, Aina Malik ibn Dukhshun. They said, where is Malik ibn Dukhshun? And one of them said, Thalika munafiq, la yuhibbu Allah wa rasuluhu. So one of the people said, that one, he is a munafiq, a hypocrite, and he doesn't love Allah and his messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Faqala Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, la taqul. أَلَا تَرَاهُ قَالَ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ يُرِيدُ بِذَلِكَ وَجْهَ اللَّهِ. And this is the shahid, or the point of the hadith. The Prophet ﷺ told him, don't say that. Don't say such. Don't you see that he has said, لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ, seeking by that statement the face of Allah, seeking the face of Allah. Don't you see that he has made the statement, he has pronounced the shahada of لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ, seeking the face of Allah, meaning saying it sincerely for the sake of Allah. That one said, Allahu wa rasuluhu a'lam. Yani Allah and His Messenger knows best. Then we said, And they answered the Prophet ﷺ saying that we said, we see him mixing with and advising the hypocrites, the munafiqeen. And because they saw him mixing with the hypocrites, they said he is from amongst them. But the Prophet ﷺ responded to them by saying this statement, which is the shahid of the hadith, إِنَّ اللَّهَ حَرَّمَ عَلَى النَّارِ مَنْ قَالَ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ يَبْتَغِي بِذَلِكَ وَجْهَ اللَّهِ. Yani that indeed Allah has made forbidden, has made haram upon the fire, that it touch whoever says لا إله إلا الله, seeking by that, yani seeking by that statement of لا إله إلا الله, the face of Allah. Whoever says لا إله إلا الله, seeking the face of Allah, meaning مخلصاً, with ikhlas, saying it sincerely for the pleasure of Allah, for the sake of Allah, for the face of Allah. Whoever says so, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made it forbidden for that person to enter, for the hellfire to touch them. The Shari', the explainer of the essay, he says here, التحريم نوعان. يعني the تحريم or the prohibition that is mentioned in this hadith, إِنَّ اللَّهَ حَرَّمَ عَلَى النَّارِ, that Allah has made it haram, forbidden or prohibited for the fire to touch the one who says لا إله إلا الله, seeking the face of Allah. He said this تحريم or the prohibition of the fire touching someone, he said it is of two types. التحريم نوعان, تحريم دخول وتحريم خلود. There are two types of prohibition intended by this hadith. The first of them is تحريم دخول, yani the prohibition of entering the fire. And he said this is in reference to, or it is the right of those people who died on tawheed, غير مرتكب للكبائر ولا مصير على الصغائر. Yani the one who has died on tawheed, and they have not committed major sins, and they have not consistently committed minor sins. Yani they have avoided the commission of major sins, and they have avoided continual commission of minor sins. If they have died on tawheed, and they have avoided these two things, he said, this is the one who is prohibited, tahreem al-dukhul, who will not enter. Allah has made it haram for the fire to touch them. They will never enter the fire. However, the other type of tahreem is tahreem khulud, yani the prohibition of eternally being in the fire. And this is in reference to usat al-muwahideen, yani the sinners from amongst the people of tawheed, who committed yani innumerable continuous minor sins, or who committed major sins without repenting from them. He said this is in reference to them. The tahreem, the prohibition of the fire touching them, means tahreem khulud. Yani not that they would never enter the fire, but it means that they would not remain eternally in the fire. And this is very important to keep in mind, that the tahreem in this ayat for whoever says la ilaha illallah, seeking the face of Allah, it doesn't mean that whoever says so sincerely that they would never be touched by the fire. But if they avoid the major sins, and if they avoid continuously engaging in minor sins, and they died on tawheed, then they would be prohibited from being touched by the fire. However, if they engaged in sins and they didn't repent from them, then they would be prohibited from permanently residing in the hellfire. However, those who committed these sins from amongst the people of tawheed, they might be punished in the fire. Allah might forgive those hadith about which there is no question concerning their authenticity, due to the fact that they have been narrated through so many different chains of narration, and the hadith of al-Shafa'a are such. And the hadith of al-Shafa'a in reference to the Ahlul Kabair, yani it is in reference to those of the people of tawheed who died without repenting from their major sins. As for the statement of Al-Imam Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab, من قال لا إله إلا الله, yani that which is mentioned in the hadith, من قال لا إله إلا الله, he said that this means the one who expresses the words of shahada, the one who expresses it on their tongue, saying لا إله إلا الله. And he said it is of necessity that we should know that this saying is مقيد, yani it is defined, it is not absolute and undefined. And this has been previously mentioned in the hadith of Abu Huraira. In the previous lecture, when we discussed the shart الشرط الثاني, the second condition of yaqeen, we said that that this saying لا إله إلا الله, it is not absolute, but it has conditions, it has restrictions, and from amongst those conditions are the condition of the certainty, and here what we have discussed this morning, the condition of ikhlas. Yani this statement of la ilaha illallah is not meant to be in the absolute sense, but it is defined as having conditions, and from amongst those conditions are the conditions which we have mentioned. As for the saying in the hadith, يَبَتَغِي بِذَلِكَ وَجْهَ اللَّهِ, he said, seeking by that, he means seeking or hoping for. Whoever says this statement, seeking or hoping for, yani hoping for the reward of Allah, or to see the face of Allah, he said, this is what is meant by يَبَتَغِي بِذَلِكَ, and whoever intends or hopes by this statement of La ilaha illallah to see the face of Allah. As for his statement, وَجْهَ اللَّهِ, the face of Allah, he said, this is a confirmation of صِفَةُ الْوَجْهِ لِلَّهِ, yani that this confirms the characteristic or the sifa of face for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the shahid or the point of reference in this hadith is that seeking the face of Allah, it means, it indicates that it is a condition, a sharf, for the pronouncement of the shahada, that it has to be pronounced with ikhlas, sincerity for Allah alone. This is the meaning. This is the meaning intended by the expression يَبَتَغِي بِذَلِكَ وَجْهَ اللَّهِ. Seeking the face of Allah means pronouncing that word of shahada sincerely for Allah alone. Likewise, he said that this hadith also indicates other ahkam, other rulings, and from amongst them, from the other rulings that may be derived from this hadith, is the prohibition of ahlu al-tawheed al-khalis. Tahreem ahlu al-tawheed al-khalis al-nar. Yani that the people of pure tawheed, that they would be prohibited from the fire. However, we should know that this tahreem in this hadith and the hadith of similar meaning are not in the absolute sense, but they are conditional. Yani conditioned with the conditions of the shurut of La ilaha illallah. Yani that the prohibition of being touched by the fire is conditional. Sheikh Sulaiman ibn Abdullah, the descendant of Sheikh Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab, in his explanation of Kitab al-Tawheed, his explanation entitled Tafsir al-Aziz al-Hamid, in that explanation, he mentions this hadith, and in the explanation of this hadith, he has transmitted a long statement from Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah, and the essence of that statement is that La ilaha illallah, it is a reason or a cause for a person to enter the paradise. And the essence of what he said is that the statement of La ilaha illallah is a sabab lidukhul al-jannah wa najat min al-nar. It is a cause for a person to enter paradise and to be saved from the fire. And it also necessitates this. Yani this statement necessitates that a person should enter the paradise and be saved from the fire. However, the necessity of entering the paradise and being saved from the fire, that this is not so unless the other conditions are fulfilled and the prohibitive factors are negated. Yani he said, al-muqtada, that which is necessitated by the statement of La ilaha illallah, entering the paradise and being saved by the fire, al-muqtada la ya'amal amalahu illa bi-ijtima'i shurutihi wa intifa'i mawani'ihi. Yani that this, it will not necessitate a person being saved from the fire and entering the paradise. It will not act in this way, it will not fulfill its function unless all of the other conditions required for entering the paradise are brought together, are also fulfilled. And that the prohibitive factors that prohibit a person from entering the paradise, that they also have to be removed, they have to be negated. And he said that the acting, you know, the functioning of this statement of La ilaha illallah may be delayed if some of the conditions are not met, or if some of the prohibitive factors of entering the paradise are present. If there are prohibitive factors that prohibit a person from entering paradise, then this statement will not be able to act in the way that we understand, that it will be a cause for a person entering the paradise. Meaning here, he said that the conditions, the other conditions also have to be joined with it, and the prohibitive factors have to be avoided, have to be eliminated. It is for this reason that it was said to Al-Hasan that verily the people are saying, whoever says La ilaha illallah will enter the paradise. Anybody who says La ilaha illallah will enter the paradise. Al-Hasan, rahimahullah, he said, من قال لا إله إلا الله فأدى حقها وفرضها دخل الجنة. يعني he said, no, it is not like that. But it is whoever says لا إله إلا الله and who has fulfilled the rights of لا إله إلا الله and the obligations of لا إله إلا الله, then that is the one who will enter the Jannah. It is not just by words being pronounced, but لا إله إلا الله has rights and it has obligations that also has to be fulfilled. And similar is the statement of Wahab ibn Munabbi, rahimahullah, when he was asked, أَلَيْسَ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ مِفْتَاحَ الْجَنَّةِ, isn't the statement of La ilaha illallah the key to Jannah, the key that admits a person to paradise? He said, بَلَى, it is so, وَلَكِنْ مَا مِنْ مِفْتَاحٍ إِلَّا وَلَهُ أَثْنَانٍ. He said, it is true that it is the miftah, the key of Jannah. However, there is no key except that it has to have teeth. The key has to have teeth. فَإِنْ جِئْتَ بِمِفْتَاحٍ لَهُ أَثْنَانٍ فُتِهَ لَكَ وَإِلَّا لَمْ يُفْتَحْ. He said, so if you bring the key which has teeth, then it will be opened. Otherwise, if your key has no teeth, it will not be opened. And he means here to say that the miftah of Jannah, La ilaha illallah, it has teeth. And its teeth are the conditions of La ilaha illallah. So if somebody brings that key with its teeth, the conditions being fulfilled, it will open the paradise. However, if they bring that statement without any teeth, and without fulfilling its conditions, then it will never operate. It will not open anything. And this is indicated by the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made as a condition, or He has based the admittance into the paradise, He has based it upon al-iman and al-amal al-salihah. Yani entering into the paradise is based upon iman, conviction in the heart, as well as the extension of that iman, which includes the iman of the actions, righteous deeds. And likewise, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in al-sahihain al-Bukhari and Muslim in the hadith of Abu Ayyub radiyallahu anhu, that a man said, O Messenger of Allah, inform us or inform me, أخبرني بعمل يدخلني الجنة. Inform me about a deed which will admit me into the paradise. The Prophet ﷺ said, تعبد الله ولا تشرك به شيئا وتقيم الصلاة وتعطي الزكاة وتصل الرحم. The Prophet ﷺ said, that deed which will admit you to paradise, it is to worship Allah and not associate anything with Him. And likewise to perform the salat and to pay the zakat and to keep good ties with one's relations. And likewise in the Musnad of Imam Ahmed in the hadith of Bishr ibn Khasasiyah, he said, I came to the Prophet ﷺ to give him the oath of allegiance. And he made as a condition, فَاشْتَرَتَ عَلَيَّ شَهَادَةٍ لَا إِلَهِ إِلَّا اللَّهِ وَأَنَّ مُحَمَّدًا عَبْدُ اللَّهِ وَرَسُولُهُ وَأَنْ أُقِيمَ الصَّلَاةِ وَأَنْ أُوْتِي الزَّكَاةِ وَأَنْ أَحُجَّ حَجَّةِ الْإِسْلَامِ وَأَنْ أَصُومَ رَمَضَانِ وَأَنْ أُجَاهِدَ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ. He said that I went to give allegiance to the Prophet ﷺ and he made as a condition to accept my allegiance that I testify that nothing deserves to be worshipped except Allah, and that Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is his servant and his messenger, and that I perform the salat, and that I pay the zakat, and that I perform the hajj of Islam, the obligatory hajj, and that I fast in Ramadan, and that I make jihad in the way of Allah. I said, O Messenger of Allah, as for these two, wallahi, I am not able to do them. That is al-jihad and sadaqah. I am not able to do them. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam held his hand, and then he moved it. And then he said, فَلَا جِهَادْ ولا صدقة فبما تدخل الجنة فبما تدخل الجنة. He said, without jihad and without sadaqah, then by what means will you enter the paradise? Then. So I said, O Messenger of Allah, I give allegiance to you upon all of them, on all of them. Yani all that you have conditioned, all that you have stated as a condition. And likewise, in this hadith, it is indicated that al-jihad and al-sadaqah are conditions for the entry into the paradise, along with realizing at-tawheed and salat and hajj and siyam, and the hadith of similar meaning are many. And in the hadith, in this hadith, there's also an indication that it is not sufficient just to have conviction, the iman which is conviction in the heart. And it is not sufficient for iman that a person merely pronounces the statement on their tongue without the conviction that is in the heart, and the opposite is likewise. And it is not sufficient to have the conviction in the heart without pronouncing it. It is not sufficient to pronounce it without having conviction in the heart. Meaning that iman and the shahada that is accepted, it requires to have conviction in the heart in addition to pronouncing it on the tongue, in addition to acting in accordance with it, such as salat and zakat and siyam and so on. Also in this hadith is an indication of the prohibition of the fire, yani touching the people of tawheed, tawheed al-kamil, who have the complete tawheed, meaning avoiding all types of shirk and so on, and ma'asiyah and bid'ah and so on. And also in this hadith is that a deed, there will be no benefit from it if it wasn't done khalisan lillahi ta'ala, if it wasn't done purely for the sake of Allah alone. This is the end of the statement of Shaykh Sulaiman, the descendant of Shaykh Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab, in his book, in his explanation, Kitab al-Tawheed, Taysir al-Aziz al-Hamid. The final statement that we have here, it is in reference to the last evidence, the fifth evidence, the hadith reported by An-Nasai in Amal al-Yawm wal-Layla, from the hadith of two men to the end of the hadith. Yani, in that hadith, it is mentioned that whoever says this statement sincerely for the sake of Allah, that Allah will open a hole in the sky and look down to the one from the people of the earth who are making this statement of La ilaha illallah. To the end of that hadith, he says, Shaykh Ubayd al-Jabri said that in the isnad, or the chain of narratives of this hadith, are two narratives, Muhammad ibn Abdullah ibn Maymun and Ya'qub ibn Asim ibn Urwa ibn Mas'ud, and Al-Hafiz ibn Hajj al-Asqalani says concerning each of these two narrators that they are maqbool. Maqbool, it is known in the mustalah or the technical terminology of Al-Hafiz ibn Hajj al-Asqalani concerning the narrators of hadith and their credibility, that when he says a narrator is maqbool, it means that if there's nobody supporting what he has narrated, then he is layyin al-hadith, meaning that his hadith has weakness. If he is not supported by anyone else, when Al-Hafiz says maqbool, it means he is acceptable if he has somebody supporting him. Otherwise, if nobody supports what he has narrated, then his hadith is weak. For this reason, the author, the Shaykh says that this hadith is weak, and I have not found any shawahid or mutabi'at, yani other narrations that might support this narration and strengthen it. For that reason, this hadith is considered as weak, wallahu a'lam. And this is the end of what we wanted to discuss. Quickly, we can look at the handout and the questions at the end of the handout. The first of them, discuss al-shart al-thalith, the third condition of La ilaha illallah, and mention the previous two shurut briefly. And in the third condition of La ilaha illallah, it is al-ikhlas al-munafi lish-shirk. Yani, it is sincerity which negates shirk, worshipping Allah exclusively and not associating anything with Him. As for the two previous conditions, they are ilm al-yaqeen, the knowledge of the meaning of La ilaha illallah, and the negation of worship for other than Allah while affirming for Allah alone, and al-yaqeen, the perfection of knowledge which negates any doubt. The second question, mention a dalil or evidence from the Qur'an for this shart or this condition. From amongst the evidences that the Shaykh mentions is ala lillahi deen al-khalis, yani in Surah Az-Zumar, chapter 39, verse 3, isn't it so that the deen is purely for Allah alone, meaning worship and obedience. And likewise, the ayat in Surah Al-Bayna, chapter 98, verse 5. Question 3, mention a dalil or evidence from the sunnah for this shart or condition. And the evidences that he mentioned from the sunnah are many. From amongst them is the hadith of Abu Hurairah, quoted in the Sahih al-Bukhari, أَسَدُ النَّاسِ بِشَفَاعَةِ مَنْ قَالَ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ خَالِصًا مِنْ قَلْبِهِ أَوْ نَفْسِهِ. And that's the most fortunate of people, meaning on Yawm al-Qiyamah, who received my intercession of those who said, La ilaha illallah, sincerely from their heart or from their soul. Number 4, Al-Hafiz ibn Kathir mentions ikhlas as a condition for the acceptance of any deed. What is the other basic condition for acceptance of deeds? The other condition is al-mutaba'a, yani following strictly or adhering to or complying with the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. The fifth question, what is the argument used by Shaykh As-Sa'di for the right of Allah to be worshipped alone, the right of Allah to be worshipped alone? The argument that he uses is that as long as we know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the only one who is perfect, and he is the one who has given freely to his servants everything that we have, it is from Allah. Then likewise, if that is all from Allah, then worship also should be given only to Allah. Question number 6. Discuss the verse, and they were commanded not but that they should worship Allah and worship none but Him alone, and to perform the salat and the zakat, and that is the Deen al-Qayyimah. And in this ayat, what we wanted to discuss in it is the fact that it is not sufficient, or that worshipping Allah alone, of the important aspects of the worship, it is as salat and zakat. That worshipping Allah alone, even though it includes salat and zakat, Al-Hafiz ibn Kathir, rahimahullah, has mentioned, or Shaykh Abdul Rahman al-Sa'di, pardon me, has mentioned that even though Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُ اللَّهَ مُخْلِصِينَ لَهُ الدِّينَ, and this worship includes all types of worship, however, he has singled out for mentioning as-salat and zakat to show the excellence and the high status of these two acts of worship. Therefore, we should know that even though they are originally included in the expression worshipping Allah alone, sometimes Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions something which is a subdivision or a part of something else in order to bring out its excellence. And this is what we find in innumerable verses in the Quran when Allah mentions, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمَلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ. Verily those who believe and do good deeds, doing good deeds is a part of Iman. It is a part of Iman. However, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the doing of good deeds after mentioning Iman, not because it is something separate, but to show the importance of this part of Iman, which is doing good deeds. Yani Iman is not just conviction in the heart, but it also includes the doing of good deeds. Question number 7. The most fortunate of people who receive my shafa'ah, who are these people? And the people who will be most fortunate to receive the shafa'ah of the Prophet ﷺ on Yawm al-Qiyamah are those who say, La ilaha illallah khalisan min qalbihi. And those who say it sincerely with ikhlas. And it means that they are the people, the Ahl al-Kabair, from the people of Tawheed. It is those who have died having committed major sins from which they didn't repent, but they died on Tawheed. They are the ones who will receive the intercession of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam on Yawm al-Qiyamah. Yani the people of Tawheed who stated sincerely La ilaha illallah, but they have committed some major sins from which they didn't repent. Question number 8. Allah has forbidden the fire upon one who says La ilaha illallah to the end of that hadith. Mention the two types of forbidden. The tahrim of the fire touching somebody who says La ilaha illallah sincerely, seeking the face of Allah. What are the two types of tahrim? The first of them is tahrim dukhul, and the second of them is tahrim khulud. Tahrim dukhul, the first one, it is in reference to the people who have died on tawheed without having committed major sins and without consistently engaging in minor sins. This is the first type of tahrim, that they would never enter the hellfire, it would never touch them. And the second type of tahrim is tahrim khulud. It is for the sinners who died without repenting from their major sins, but they died on tawheed. The prohibition here is the prohibition of eternally remaining in the fire. Question number 9, what may be understood from the hadith, seeking by this the face of Allah, يَبْتَغِي بِذَلِكَ وَجْهَ اللَّهِ. What is understood from this hadith is two things. The first of them is the confirmation of the sifa of wajh. That face is a confirmed a sifa for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The second of that, what may be understood from this is the condition of la ilaha illallah of ikhlas. Seeking the face of Allah by this statement, it means saying it for Allah alone. So these are two things that may be understood from this statement. The confirmation of the sifa of wajh for Allah face, and also the condition or the shart of ikhlas for the statement of la ilaha illallah. The last question, what was the statement of Wahab ibn Munabbi rahimahullah concerning the shahada of la ilaha illallah? And when he was asked, isn't it so that la ilaha illallah is the miftah al-jannah? He said, indeed, bala. However, there's no key except that it must have teeth. So if you bring that key and it has teeth, it will be opened. Yani the door will be opened, the paradise will be opened. Otherwise, it will not be opened. Yani if you bring a key without teeth, then it will not function, it will not open the doors of paradise. So everyone should know that the statement of La ilaha illallah, it is the key to paradise. However, it will only function and open the doors of paradise for the one who fulfills its condition. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika, ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. If there are any questions or comments or corrections, perhaps we can take a few moments for those questions now.
The question, it is, repeat the question from number 5, it is, what is the argument used by Shaykh As-Sa'di for the right of Allah to be worshipped alone? And the argument that he has used is the argument that is found throughout the Qur'an, that if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the only one that enjoys perfection, and He is the one who has given us all of the bounties that we have without receiving anything from us, and He has freely given, then if that is so, then He is the one that deserves to be worshipped. It is because Allah is the one who has created us and who provides for us and who has given us whatever we have. Since He is the only one who has done all of this, then He is the only one that deserves to be worshipped. This is the argument of the affirmation of Tawheed al-Rububiyyah necessitates the affirmation of Tawheed al-Ubudiyyah. That whoever confirms that Allah is the Lord and Creator and Provider, then they must of necessity also confirm that Allah is the one who deserves to be worshipped alone.